All right, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. I'm Pastor John, and I just need to let you know that that's going to be the last Sunday you're going to hear the waves on Sunday morning, all right? Today we're going to finish up our series, Summer in the Psalms. Since we're coming up here to Labor Day, we're going to finish up today, and next week we will head elsewhere, and who knows, maybe we'll do fall and winter in Judges or something, and have a snow blizzard in the walk up video for you there. You know, I've really enjoyed this time that we've spent in the book of Psalms, and today I've chosen Psalm 136 as where we're going to end up on this last sermon. And I'd like to start today by talking about, you know, just as an example, something that really bothers me today, and that's the revision of history that's going on. You know, it's really troubling to me when the woke community looks at things of our past and they're denying our heritage. They're tearing down statues. They're judging people's lives that are long dead, based on whether or not they were perfect. And a lot of times, in those imperfections, they find reason to discard anything about their life or about their service or a lot of the things of our past. And I don't know about you, but that's very troubling to me. You know, even people like this, you know, this great American George Washington, you know, one of the founding fathers of our country, you know, the very first president, the man that they really desired to be the king rather than the president, but the men that wrote our Constitution, different things, they saw a different way of doing government. And it troubles me when people look back and they find so much wrong and so many reasons to dismiss a lot of our history and the things that some of these founding fathers said and stood for. Can you imagine today this happening, where jointly the Congress, the United States Congress, the U.S. House of Representatives, and the senators, and the president, the White House, would all agree on one very important thing, and that was on October the 3rd in 1789. A declaration was given by George Washington at the request of both houses of Congress to set aside a day of thanksgiving as citizens and as Americans. So that was the beginning of Thanksgiving Day. And as you know, as I thought about that, you know, and you think about this would never happen today, where he used language like say, he said, all citizens need to stop and thank the one true Almighty God for everything that they have. Asking for the entire country to unite in rendering unity, in understanding that everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we ever will have is a gift from God. Man, I long for those days once again. Matter of fact, the phrase that I want to focus on from Psalm 136 is where he just simply says that his love endures forever. Matter of fact, if you notice that, and we'll be reading some of these verses in a few minutes, after every stanza in every verse, this line is repeated. Now, I studied this, and it was basically that back then God's people would recite this psalm together and much like we could do here today, that we could read this psalm, and then the congregation would respond each time with these words. You know, just say them there. His love endures forever. Over and over and over again, that is repeated in these beautiful verses. You know what? I found out a long time ago that when things are repeated, they become very much more important. I mean, I remember my mother, you know, she'd say, John, take out the trash. I never paid attention to the first time. Anybody else here like that? I never paid attention to the first time. But as the request was repeated and as the volume was increased, I understood that it was important that I follow through on this. So over and over and over again, when he says his love endures forever, say it again, his love endures forever. Do it again, his love endures forever. The psalmist here is trying to get across the importance of these four words. Think about this. His love endures forever. See, we live in a time where people that they can take things that were said a long time ago and then convince you that they are not nearly as important today. Whether it's words spoken like a founding father, George Washington, or a political leader from decades ago, or even the words of our God and Father in His holy word. It's all over our world today that things that were said then may not be so important today. Well, I'm here to tell you, as your pastor and as your friend, these words, these four words, are extremely important. I had an interesting conversation the other night with my son-in-law, who's an expert on language and Hebrew and Greek and the understanding, and I engaged him in a conversation about this particular Hebrew word, chesed. Matter of fact, he said, John, when you say it, make sure you have that guttural there, that chesed, okay? Chesed. Or as my brothers in Lee County, Virginia, the good old rednecks from Lee County would say, chesed. But actually it's pronounced, the Hebrew word is pronounced as an H. The CH is a H sound, chesed. And here's why you need to know how important this word is. Matter of fact, my son-in-law, Nathan, he actually said that it's one of the most difficult words in Hebrew to understand the meaning of, because it's translated love here. It's translated many times mercy, God's mercy, God's love. A lot of times they put the word with it, His everlasting love, His everlasting mercy. His love endures forever. He said those four words and the translation of those four words in Psalm 146 is very, very important, because they're wanting you to see just how important this is. Because it's not just about His mercy, it's not just about His love, but it's about the time frame of His mercy and of His love. That it is forever. You know, I was talking to a little neighbor boy the other day, and he said that he's 13. He's in seventh grade. And I said, you know what? The only thing I was worried about in the seventh grade is whether or not I was going to get Donna Pendergraf to give me a kiss. That was the only thing that was on my mind. And I think back on those days now and how much life changed, how much love changed. How much forever changed. I'm almost embarrassed to say to you here this morning in the presence of my wife that I ever thought about kissing another woman. It never happened, honey, just to let you know. But when you think about this word, it's not only love, it's not only mercy, But it's the time frame attached to it that God is forever merciful. He's forever forgiving. He's forever loving. It is so different than the way that we would understand or translate words that it could ever go to that extent, to that length, to that depth. The New Testament describes it that we can't understand the height or the width or the depth of God's love, that there's nowhere that we can go, nowhere we can hide, where we can get out of or away from God's love and mercy and forgiveness. And here's why I brought up this idea of George Washington's Thanksgiving Declaration. You know, it's one thing to be thankful on a day. It's another thing to be thankful always. And then I got to thinking about all the different holidays that we celebrate in our existence, and how really every day should be a celebration of this Hesed. Every day should be a celebration of how great and how wonderful God is for us. I mean, I hope as a Christian or as a believer or as a seeker of God that every day that you are thankful. You know, Christmas is one thing. I love Christmas Day. I love the nativity. I love the night lights. I love the tree. I love the presents. I love the Christmas story. But really, shouldn't every day be a celebration of Jesus Christ coming and what He's done for us? Every day on December 31st and on January 1st, we celebrate a new year, a new beginning. We celebrate a chance to start over, to do things better, to do things right. But yet God gives us that offer and ability every day that we live. You know what, folks? If you need a day over, you can have it today. You know, I played golf with some of my best friends this past Friday. We were on a golf course, and it was funny because among friends, you know, you'd hit a really bad shot, and they'd say, "Go ahead and hit another one." You know, somebody'd knock one into the pond. Oh my goodness, tee it up and hit it again. Now, I'll just tell you that never happened with me the whole day. But the other three guys. You know, we all need to start over, right? And yes, New Year's Day is wonderful, but as a Christian, we should see every day as a new day. I mean, Valentine's Day, I mean, it is off the charts what people spend on flowers and cards and chocolate and eating out and all these different things. But really, shouldn't every day be a day of love and of showing love to that special person in your life? I mean, Memorial Day, we always think about saying thank you to the people that have, you know, given their life for our freedom. But really, every holiday that we have, July the 4th, celebrating what we have, isn't every day a celebration of freedom? I mean, this coming weekend is Memorial Day. Labor Day, excuse me, thank you. I'm just checking. Labor Day's in the spring, or Memorial Day's in the spring. Labor Day's here in the fall. You know, school is starting back, and you know, it's this great holiday where people just stop, and they thank God. You know, it's the last hurrah of summer, leading into the school year and the fall and the winter. But folks, every holiday, think about it. Every holiday could be celebrated each and every day. That's what I think that Psalm 36 is all about. Over and over and over again, His love endures forever. Say it with me. His love endures forever. Again, His love endures forever. His love endures forever. He wants us to know how important those four words are, and how we would need to recognize the meaning and the beauty of them every moment of every day. So, if He's talking about God here, and how we need to always remember His love, His grace, His mercy, and His capacity to never stop loving us that way, what are the things that He is saying in this verse for us to know? Well, let me just give you a list here, and there's really several of them. Number one, he talks about understanding and realizing who God is. I mean, being really thankful for who He is every day. Do you think like that? Every day, do you get up and do you thank God for the day, for who He is, for His greatness, for His might, for His promises, for His protection, for His word, for Him teaching us that even though not all things are good, that all things can work for good. We go through a lot of things that necessarily aren't good, but God can bring those about and make them work for good. Matter of fact, here, let me show you in verses 1 through 3. Look at what He says here. I love this. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Verse 2, "Give thanks to the God of God." God's. Thanks. "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords." Over and over and over again, He's saying that we need to remember exactly who God is. Have you ever noticed how a lot of times life is about who God's not? Not so much about what God has done, is doing, and will do, but what we think that God has not done, or God has not refused to do. As one young lady said to me not too long ago, "What has God done for me?" I mean, a lot of times we are based, I mean, think about it. A lot of times relationships fall apart because we say that this significant other, they've not treated me well. They've not done what I thought that they should do. They've not held up their end of the bargain. They've not completed me. They've not helped me. They've not ministered to me. So much of life, we become disillusioned because of things that people have not done. But the psalmist here is reminding us that we need to remember always what God has done, who He is. Here, this brings me to the second thing, because He also says here something about we need to understand God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness forever in relation to His wonderful creation. You know, not long ago I was thinking about something, because someone was talking about a particular something that someone had invented, had made, something that they had done that was going to change a lot of people's lives. You know, although we can't imagine it, and you think about this, the cell phone really hasn't been around more than 30 years. But could you imagine what life would be like now without a cell phone? I mean, for heaven's sakes, I would forget someone liking one of my grandchildren's picture when I was shopping at Walmart. I don't know what I would do if I wasn't alerted to that immediately. But think about this. Let me say it this way. Everything that we have ever created through the ingenuity of men and women, the really only thing that we're doing is reorganizing the things that God has already made. Think about it. The most expensive car that you could ever imagine is simply made of things that God already made. Everything that we invent, that we come up with today, is just reassembling things that God created at creation. And so many times I think that we talk about the ingenuity and the brightness of individuals, but we don't necessarily recognize our Creator and our friend. Here, let me read you a few more verses and you respond appropriately. Verse 4. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. Isn't that beautiful? I think that what the psalmist is saying here to us is that because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his chesed, we should understand by his creation, that we should understand that we should give great homage to him because of all of these things that he has made for us. And just think about it. We don't make anything that is not made up of everything that God has created. Several years ago, and some of you old timers remember this, remember the pews we had here? We used to have these beautiful pews here, and they were really long pews, and because we wanted to use the space in a different way and for different things, we went with the chairs. And if you've been here a long time, you'll remember that when we first considered doing that, boy, it really didn't go over very well. There were a lot of people didn't want to get rid of those pews, and I kind of understood that. And what we did was every week for a couple of months, we took out a pew, and we replaced it with 10 chairs. These exact chairs, and we'd take out a pew up front here, we'd put 10 chairs, and then that Sunday, hopefully, people would sit in those chairs, and then next week we'd move it to back in one of the back, and we did this all over the sanctuary, and you know what we found? When we took the pew out and we put the 10 chairs in, people just moved and sat somewhere else. And I got so frustrated by it that one day, Arlene and I were talking, and she said, John, I'm sorry. I just think the pews are more comfortable. I said, Arlene, honey, that's the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my entire life. Not my finest moment as a husband. But people were so, can you imagine? Can you imagine now? I mean, I can't imagine. But boy, I'm so thankful that somebody took the created materials of God and put them together in such a comfortable way. By the way, those pews are in the Methodist Church at the top of Frankstown Road. No, not the Lutheran Church at the top of Frankstown Road on the left. If you want to go sit on the old pews, 10:30 Sunday morning, we'll give you one week away. Aren't you thankful for the Creator God? He continues on here. Look at this next subject, because it's just so cool the way he does this. He talks about who God is. He talks about his wonderful creation. And then in verse number 10, he starts talking about salvation. And I don't know about you, but boy, this is the crown jewel of what we need to be thankful for from God above. Salvation. Eternity with him. Forgiven past, present, and future. Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins and my sins. And when we think about this phrase that his love endures forever, it's amazing to think about how God has rescued us. Look at verse number 10. He says, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them, and with a mighty hand and outstretched arm,
his love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder,
his love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it,
his love endures forever.
And then verse 15, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, strongly, his love endures forever. You see, that's all about what God has done, how God has saved them, brought them out of Egypt, how Israel was, was rescued by His mighty hand, by His outstretched arm, how He divided the Red Sea and brought salvation to them, but yet condemned the Egyptians who pursued them. You see, folks, the psalmist here is telling us that every day we should be thankful for the salvation that God has brought to us. I don't know if you remember me telling you the story. I'm sure I've told you. Many, many years ago, I was fishing by myself in the James River, and I had chest waders on, and it was in the fall of the year, and the water was kind of cool, and I stepped off into this spot that was just full of silt and mud, and I just instantly sank down into it, and literally, I would have died, but for one small branch that was above my head, and I literally reached up and grabbed this branch, and it kept me from going down deep enough that my waders filled up and that the water went over my head. I'm telling you, that branch saved my life. And I pulled myself up out of that silt and I struggled over to the bank and I took those waders off and I sat there and I thought, John, you just about bought the farm there, brother. Every day we should wake up and realize that Jesus Christ was that branch that pulled us out of the miry clay. That we should think about God's outstretched arm that brings us out of the slavery to sin. That we should think about the staff of Moses or the hand of God that parts the waters before us. So that we can walk on dry ground. And the psalmist here is saying that every day when you get up, you need to thank God for who He is. You need to thank God for His wonderful creation. That you need to thank God for His salvation. And then look at this next one, because I think it is so key, so beautiful where he goes next. Because he really talks about their inheritance. Their inheritance. You know, I wish I had a rich uncle that might leave me a bunch of money. As far as the world goes, you know, there's no great inheritance waiting for me ever. But I know people that have gotten those. And they talk about the difference that it makes in their life. And I think as a believer, as a Christian, what he's getting to here is that we need to understand that we were grafted in, that we are the new Israel, we are the church, we are His chosen people, we are brothers, heirs with our brother Jesus Christ, and there is a great inheritance waiting for us, namely eternal life with Him. And look at this, because he actually brings this to the point here in the rest of this particular passage. Here, look at verse 16. He says, and let's continue with you helping me here, to Him who led His people through the wilderness, to Him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites,
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan,
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance,
His love endures forever.
An inheritance to His servant Israel,
His love endures forever.
What's he talking about here? He's talking about that after they recognize who God is, His wonderful creation, His marvelous salvation. Now we get something tangible because of this relationship with Him. So we come together and we see this, how God brought His people through the wilderness. But get this, He brought His people to the wilderness to a destination. He defeated their enemies so that they would have something tangible so that they could live their lives and be blessed by the land. You see, listen, folks, God never brings you through anything unless he's taken you somewhere else. My friend Jim Kilmartin, local pastor here, Friday night, his son got hurt in the very beginning of the Altoona-Hollidaysburg rivalry game. It was interesting because about every other play, I heard them say, Ethan Straup on the run, Ethan Straup around the end, Ethan Straup with the tackle. Jeremy and Lisa's boy Ethan is over and over and over again. But I knew how much Jim's son was looking forward to this year. His senior, he broke his leg, broke his ankle, almost the very beginning of the game. And Jim texted me and he talked about how you know, that physically he's a lot of pain, but yet emotionally there was even more. And I told him how when I was in high school, I mean, I wasn't a great football player, but I love football, and really an injury got me in the lane that God wanted me in. Terrible injury to my leg, my knee. I still deal with it today, but that injury got me to the place where God needed me to be so that I end up where he wanted me to end up. And I texted that to Jim, and I said, you know, I have a similar story, and I'd love to share it with AJ sometime. And he wrote me back and said, boy, that would be awesome. And I will, at the right time, at his choosing, I'll sit down and tell him that story. But do we really understand that? Because you think about what we're going through now. It's not so much about what we're going through now, but where God is wanting us to be. And I'm not saying, you know, God always orchestrates every wrong, every evil, every catastrophe in life. But I do know that the Bible says that God works together for good to those that love him. Think about it. His love endures forever. If we love him, then we're going to understand that he's taken us through something to get us somewhere else. And then one more thing. For his love and for his mercy. You see, folks, what it takes to understand the love and mercy of God is a tenderness of heart. Is your heart tender enough to feel the kinds of things that God wants you to feel? I mean, does the phrase that his love endures forever, does it conjure up emotion in your heart and your spirit that makes you understand how important it is for who he is and his wonderful creation and for his salvation and for his inheritance? That's what his love and mercy is all about. Matter of fact, here, let me give you the last part of this in verse number 23. He says this. He said he remembered us in our low estate, his and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. So, folks, here's the point. Is your heart tender enough to receive this message? Or a better way of thinking about it is, what are you celebrating today? I think that I'm going to take my sweet Arlene to Cracker Barrel today, and we're going to celebrate Labor Day and Thanksgiving, and we're going to celebrate her birthday in December, and we're going to celebrate Christmas, we're going to celebrate New Year's and Valentine's Day and Easter and everything else, because it's a heart that can celebrate knowing all the things that God is and what he's done. That leads us to the point every day that we realize that his love endures forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this wonderful, marvelous, beautiful day of celebration. Lord, that this is a holiday like none other. That, Lord, it's wonderful to set aside a day to celebrate things that are worthy, things that are good. Thank you, Lord, that our founding fathers could all agree that there needs to be a moment, a day in time, that we celebrate the goodness and the providence and the salvation of God. Lord, in a day and time when politically that would seem impossible to try to do today, I pray, Lord, that your people can do it. That we can stop, Lord, and understand the beautiful meaning of this word, chesed. That your love, that your mercy, that your grace, that your forgiveness is something that we can celebrate and be thankful for each and every day. May it be so, Lord, for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.